We're doing the Navi Zechariah. We had seen last week that there would be this great eulogy over Mashiach ben Yosef, that the time will come when there'll be that great war. Mashiach ben Yosef will lead us and he will die in battle. And the eulogy will be like the eulogy over a person's firstborn, like the eulogy of Achav, like there's a great eulogy of Hadad Rimon. Everyone's going to eulogize and mourn over him. And the Navi went on to recount the king's family, the house of David, the prophet's family, the house of Natan, the Levite's family. Each one is enumerated on its own, and each one is going to do it modestly, the men separately and the women separately. All the families will eulogize the passing of Mashiach ben Yosef.
Will Mashiach ben Yosef for sure be a person, like a specific person?
I don't know.
So, what kind of word are you talking about?
I don't know that either. I don't know.
I mean, this is what happens, like, as the way it is, we go to the
next. So, let's see. Yomahu, huh?
I have assumed that it's going to be a person?
Yeah. That doesn't mean we're right in that assumption. So, we had seen everyone's going to gather against Jerusalem. The nations will unite and fight against Jerusalem. And then Hashem will destroy the nations when they come to that final battle. And then, Bayomahu, the Navi continues in what they call the 13th chapter, Bayomahu, Yiyeh Mako Niftach, Levet David, Uri Yosheve Yerushalayim. So on that day, Hashem says, at that day, and on that day could very often mean at that time, not literally on that day, there will be a source of water, which the prophet in Yechezkel also spoke about, and we saw this at the end of last week, that there will be a source of water coming out of the Temple Mount, out of the Beit HaMikdash. Levet David ul Yosheve Yerushalayim, Lechatat ul Nida. And that stream of water will be there to purify people, to be a source of purity to those who become Tamei Met, where they need the waters of the Parah Aduma, called Mei Chatat. Ul Nida, and for a woman that's defiled, to also immerse herself in those waters. So here we would assume that this is a metaphor. But Chazal spoke, Chazal had different traditions as to what stream would come out and how big the stream would be that would come out of the Temple Mount, out of Jerusalem. Again, the question is, did Chazal mean it literally? I don't know. So on that day, there will be a source of purity coming out of Jerusalem. Hashem says, on that day, I, Hashem who controls all the armies, I will destroy the names of the idols. Atzabim are idols. I will destroy them from the land. V'lo yizachiru od. And they will no longer be remembered. V'gam et ha-nevi'im v'et ruach ha-tumah a'avir min ha'aretz. Hashem says, I'll remove the false prophets. I will remove the ruach ha-tumah. That's the Yetzer Hara. There'll be no longer a Yetzer Hara in the land. And that's what we have in the Torah already, that Hashem will give us a new heart. So a person won't have desire to do that which is wrong. So then the question is, will there be Bechira Chofshit if there's no Yetzer Hara?
Maybe you could say that there's no Bechira Chofshit with the Yetzer Hara? What's the Bechira Chofshit?
Free will. What do you mean?
Well, like, it's like for me, let's say, like, I really don't want to do a sin, but because of my Yetzer Hara, it's pushing me to do a sin, and it's pushing again and again and again, and I do the sin, that's the free will.
Would you say you don't have Bechira Chofshit because you can't fly?
No, because I don't have the choice to fly. I do have the choice to serve God better than I'm serving God.
You just said you have the choice.
So I guess I don't have to ask questions. Why? No, but I'm saying how could you say that the Yetzer Hara is part of Yetzer Hara? Because it's not. It's making you do things that you wouldn't normally, you wouldn't want to do, but because you have such a strong urge from the Yetzer Hara.
I don't think it makes us. It challenges us. And if you didn't have that challenge, then you wouldn't have free will. Saying what the Yetzer Hara does is it allows us to forget that Hashem is running the world, and that allows us to have the freedom to have free choice. If we didn't have a Yetzer Hara, if we lived all day with that knowledge, Hashem's running the world, Hashem's running the world, to its highest level, we could be frozen, or we could become automatons. What am I supposed to do now? The fact that we have the Yetzer Hara is a tool through which we could serve Hashem better, but at the end of the day, it's a tool that gives us the perspective of a world without Hashem. Right now, what I want is that. The fact that there's Hashem is theoretical.
Would you say a person could be overcome by his Yetzer Hara? That he could do something that he really doesn't want to do in his heart. She's right there.
I don't know if he's overcome. He chooses to allow himself to be overcome. You understand what I'm saying? There's
like Yosef had said, he ran out with me. He really had to flesh, yeah.
Right, we have to the Ashkia, right, that's true.
Not everyone's on the level of Yosef.
I'm not sure if we're not on that level or we choose not to be on that level. Meaning, every time it's a new choice. Every morning, every minute, it's a new choice we make. Sometimes we choose not to choose and let it just play itself out, as though we weren't choosing, but really we're choosing that too. A guy who decides not to get up and sleep late and loses his job, he had a choice. He chose to not choose. He chose to let things play themselves out. Okay, in life we do that often, but that's not, that's not called we didn't have a choice. We chose not to choose. But it is hard. I agree with you on that. Vehaya ki navei shod. The Navi says, and at that time, if someone will again try to give a false prophecy, v'amiru elav aviv v'imo yoledav lo tichyeh. So then, even his own parents, his father, his mother, they'll tell him, you won't live. You don't deserve to live. Ki shekel dibauta b'shem Adonai, because he said a lie in the name of Hashem. Ud karu aveu v'imo yoledav b'hinaveo. And then they will personally execute him. His own parents.
Is it Yeshua?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's interesting, because on the one hand he says, there won't be a desire to sin. So then where did the false prophet come from? Why did he, where did his desire to lie come from? The Navi says, at that time, if a person would lie, and that's why I think we understand this to mean as, if it would happen, so then it wouldn't work. A person's own parents would be ready to kill him over the lie. And that's why no person would be interested in being a false prophet. Firstly, because the Yetzer Hara would be subdued. And secondly, because other people's Yetzer Hara would be subdued. And they would see clearly the truth and the falsehood. And the emotions wouldn't get in the way. V'haya b'yom ha'hu yevoshu ha'nevigim ish mechazyono b'hina avoto. At that time, says the Navi, Yevoshu ha'nevi'im, the false prophets will be embarrassed. Ish mechezyono b'inavoto, that they will be embarrassed from the false prophecies that they gave in the past. Some want to say that the idea here is that the false prophets will become true prophets. And when they see what true prophecy is like, they'll be embarrassed that they ever thought they had prophecy. ולא ילבשו אדרת שיער למען כחש. And they won't wear an aderet se'ar, that was some kind of garment that a hairy garment that pious people would wear, and the false prophets would wear it too, and that was a way of convincing people, hey, I'm pious, look at me and accept my prophecy. So these prophets will no longer wear that aderet se'ar. I don't know. You guys have a translation there?
In Russian.
In Russian, okay. I don't know.
So, what about, like, when it says the garments, it can't mean, like, literally, because, like, prophets today don't run around wearing furry garments. Maybe they mean, garment of like philosophy, like come at people from the angle of like, oh, I'm here to help you. Well, when really they're after like, let's say money. Sort of like the false prophet who came like, you're sustaining America, was guys like, oh, the end of the world is coming, give me your money, buy a share of my bunker, blah, 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 blah. And the weekend came and went, and the world was still there. You know? So he wore this false garment of, oh, I'm here to protect you, give me money, and I'll look after you.
There's a bad no, I know,
but there's
always been a tradition of pious people dressing.
Could it be wool that
Paris wore? Could be, but it seems like it's a garment they wore that was a respectable garment. I'm not sure what an aderet se'ar is. Elio is described as wearing an aderet se'ar. Maybe right. It was a fur coat, I don't know. Okay, maybe. So you're saying it's the fur hats, the Hasidim way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't think it's that, but it's maybe it was a fur coat that there it's it was some kind of garment with hair. But more than that, I don't know. What? Oh, so I don't think the traditional commentaries say that. I know that the priests used to wear that. They used to wear something out of wool that would make them itch all the time, and that was a way of causing themselves suffering. But the commentaries don't learn that way. The commentaries learn it was some type of garment that showed importance, that showed a person was pious. I don't see in the commentaries that it means what the priests used to wear. I was tempted to say that. Meaning, I also remember that. But from the commentaries, it doesn't seem that way. Aderet, they learn, is from the word adir, something that's extraordinary, something that's awesome, because it's made of hair. So that sounds like a fur coat. That doesn't sound like the wool shirts that the priests used to wear.
It sounds more like wool, like the words, like it sounds more like wool, or it's like, right?
Maybe, but not in a way that would be itchy, in a way that would be respectable.
Maybe it was.
Maybe. V'amar lo navi anochi ishoved adama anochi ki adam hiknani mine'urai. This false prophet, when he does tshuva, will say, lo navi anochi, I'm not a prophet. Ishoved adama anochi, I'm working the fields. Why am I out in the fields? Not like the prophets who got in the fields for itbodedut, to be focused, to attain prophecy. But no, my job is to work out here in the fields. Ki adam iknani minuhai. What I prophesized when I was younger, that was not Hashem who spoke to me, but rather a person like me. Got me going and told me, ki adam hiknani, someone aroused me or taught me, got me into this business, minorai, when I was younger. I went to a fortune teller. They taught me how to be a fortune teller, a soothsayer. I became like them. Ki adam hiknani minorai. It was a human who taught me from when I was younger, how to play these shenanigans. But I wasn't the real prophet back then. V'amar ilav ma'amakot ha'ele ben yadecha. So when the false prophets will do tshuva in the future, so they will get lashes, and then a person will ask him, what are these signs between your arms, between your shoulder blades? And the false prophet will answer, that's where I was hit, in the house of those that love me. He'll recognize that the Beis Din didn't do this out of enmity. The Beis Din does it out of love. It's a part of his tshuva process. So even the false prophets will do tshuva and have appreciation for what they undergo. And we're almost finished. We'll pick up here Bezat Shem next week.